Welcome to Inside Dirt, presented by ATVScene.com, your passport to the behind-the-scenes world of the WPSA Power Sports ATV Tour, the nation's leading ATV racing series. Inside Dirt is hosted by Mark Strawbanger and John Pellin.
All right, I'm John Pellin. To my right, Mark Strawbanger. We are back for the second episode of Inside Dirt. We're live from Daniel Boone Motocross Park in London, Kentucky. And man, are you tired like I am? Pretty big weekend, huh, Mark?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, a double weekend. It was pretty brutal. We got here Thursday, and it seems like I've been here for like a couple of weeks. It was a great weekend. We had huge crowds of both spectators and race teams. You know, there are so many different parking lots here. It's like kind of a different city in each little nook and cranny here. But, you know, double weekends means double points and double payout. Can you believe $45,000 was paid out by the WPSA?
I'll tell you what, Mark, this is... The WPSA has really come alive. This, I remember 1 year ago, this is where it all started, and I remember I was trying to find a helmet to go ride, and I didn't want to ride, but I was going to ride Jerry's utility quad, I think, because they had only a couple, two or three entries. So to think 1 year ago that was happening, we pulled in the parking lot wondering if anyone's going to show up, and man, have they come a long way in 1 year. I'm just blown away.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was, you know, especially the quad terrain challenge, that is really blown up. You know, they came down here, we only had two for sure riders, and you know, then riders came out of the woodwork. This is where the world was introduced to Adam Vaughn out
right.
of London, Kentucky.
That's your favorite story, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, the kid came out of the woodwork, and actually he helped build this Quadrain Challenge track. Jerry actually hired him to come out here and build the Quadrain Challenge track. And Adam said, hey, you know, you guys need some riders, I'll be glad to ride this. And now, of course, he is a factory Can-Am support rider. Amazing.
How did it go today in the QTC? Do a little recap?
Yeah, first? It was great out there. There was the log jam was, I mean, you know, you usually say this is the spot where the race is won. Well, not in Quadrain Challenge, it's the spot where the race is lost.
Right.
And we were talking about that earlier about getting the hole shot and all that stuff. It's really, the hole shot's not that important, but getting out there and keeping your momentum. And it was a great battle. Scott Kilby, of course, taking a win. Jesse West coming in the second spot. And at the very end, Adam Vaughn, through the misfortune of other riders, got to moved up into the third position, and so it was great to see him get on the podium here in his hometown.
It was brutal out there, that's for sure. It was fun to watch the probably not fun to ride that log section though. I mean, you had to. Well, Chris Borge did a pretty well job, but it was not easy. It looked like that was probably the toughest obstacle that we've seen in the year.
Well, I'll tell you what, in that first race, Chris Borge was in second place behind Chris Bithell, and after the rock garden, that's where the hole shot line was, and just before he got to the line, Chris Bithell high-sided it, and it was literally like 2 feet from the hole shot, you know, the $500 hole shot, or I think it's a $1,000 hole shot, and, you know, Chris came in there and just took it away. It was unbelievable. Chris Borich passed him right there in front of that and took the $1,000 away. But I'll tell you, the man with the plan, I'll tell you, you got to be a big guy to handle that log jam, and that is definitely doing a great job. That was Scott Kilby. In fact, I believe Justin Anderson had a few words with Scott Kilby.
This has got to be a tough race coming back from Oklahoma. I know you had a tough time there. It's got to feel pretty good here to step to the top step of the podium.
Yeah, it feels really good. I couldn't get anything accomplished in Oklahoma. Went out and broke the bike, you know, first thing in the first heat, and then I wrecked it in the second heat, and I just didn't have a good day and messed the bike up. But now we got everything straightened out, and it's handling really good.
Now, obviously points are pretty important this time of year. here. This is a double weekend. It's pretty nice to be able to get this one win done before this afternoon's final.
Yeah, this feels really good. If I can repeat that again this afternoon, I might be in first place again. So we'll see.
Talk about the manufacturer's battle a little bit over here. It's obviously Can-Am versus Arctic-Cat. It seems one after the other every race. You guys got the top spot today.
Yeah, let me get started.
Yeah, the Arctic-Cat and the Can-Am battle is an ongoing thing. They're really good at some things, and we're really good at others, and we're pretty much even when it comes to the finish line, you know. Just whoever gets some of the luck sometimes.
Well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, you know what? Scott talked about these Can-Am and everything. And, you know, I talked to him earlier today. He's running four-wheel drive the whole race. Is that? Did you talk to any other riders, Mark? Are they all running four-wheel drive the whole time?
Well, you know, most of them, a lot of times they get out there and it is so crazy. Sometimes they knock it in and out of four-wheel drive and they're constantly... like I said, I believe they're only shifting into two-wheel drive like twice, just for the really tight turns that are hard-packed turns. So
I was talking to Scott. He wished there was a way that he can grab that four-wheel drive in and out easier. He wants to relocate the switch or put a lever or something. I don't know if that would be legal. I don't know.
Well, no,
WPSA would be legal or not, but to modify the whole thing. But it's kind of a good idea to be able to engage out of two wheel because those front wheels turning. You got to be a big man like Scott Kilby to manhandle that thing like he does.
That's exactly right. You know, that's maybe something that'll come out in the 2009 model. It'll be
an aftermarket product. It might be pretty cool to be able to switch into two easily because it's not that easy to get your hand off the throttle to flip it up. If it was on the left side, like a clutch almost, I bet you these guys could really increase their lap times.
Well, I'll tell you what, he has some rough luck in Oklahoma. He's broke a lot, and, what they do is whatever breaks, this is still a new sport, whatever breaks, they go and they have to fix it, and they have to fine-tune their machine so that, say, okay, well, this is what's happening here. We need to definitely get this fixed, and so there's still a lot of fine-tuning going on. One thing about Scott Kilby is that he's always trying to be politically correct, and he's a very well versed interviewer.
He's got that southern twang to his voice, kind of hillbillyish, but he's still professional. I know what you're saying. Where is he from? What is it? West Virginia? No.
Well, I'll tell you what,
North Carolina.
I wouldn't, if you saw the size of the man,
I wouldn't call him hillbilly. Yeah, I should take that back, but I guess we...
In fact, he may be listening to this.
He knows I mean well with that. It's got that southern twang, but I kind of like it.
I'll tell you what, that was some great racing in the Quad Train Challenge class, and that was round number four. We also had round number four, our Super Quad Pro 450 class. John, did you check out that action? I'll tell you what, Weenan and Natale were swinging on each other.
Yeah, I think that John Natale is not quite 100%, but he looked like it to me. But then at the last few laps, he started to fade a little bit. I talked to him a little bit. He said he's kind of getting a little tired. He can't wait till he's 100%, which is kind of interesting. The guy's going like that, and he's not even 100%. But whatever, it's amazing what Suzuki did today. To beat John Natale, because that guy's something else.
Well, I think it's all Chad Weenan, and I believe Justin had a few words with Chad Weenan as well.
There, you were going to win it or wreck trying?
Riding on the edge, and that's what you got to do out there. The best of the best are out here, and, I'm under control even though it doesn't look like it, and, especially when the fans are out there motivating you and the family shows up, it's always a good thing to have that behind you.
A lot of people, we came into this this weekend looking at John Natale here, who finished second as a big favorite to win today. Did you come in with any extra pressure when you were trying to track him down there, running second?
I mean, I want to run out front, and he wants to run out front too, and it's just a battle, the best man to the strongest man to do it, and John, great rider, and he kept it clean, and I respect the guy so much, and Suzuki, with all their help, we couldn't do it without him.
Notch a second win of the season. You're on your way to getting the championship this year. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, you know, Suzuki's all about championships when you got Ryan Cox and, you know, all the other mechanics, Robert, Rick, you know, and Baron behind you. And, you know, definitely the riders, they help each other. We help each other out, and, you know, we couldn't thank them enough.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Man, you know what? I love watching Chad Weenan ride. Chad never lifts Weenan. That's what it is. It's all about him never lifting. I don't know how he does it, but he seems to find traction in midair. You ever watch him? I'm going to ask you, as a longtime enthusiast in both bikes and quads, who does he remind you of?
Well, he reminds me kind of Donnie Banks just because of the size of him. And, you know, one thing about Chad, he's always riding on the edge. He's always taking it to the edge. And I think earlier on this year, he's broke some equipment. I think he's learned his lesson. Not to push it too hard, or else you're going to break your equipment. And, you right. know, I actually talked to Chad about that before. I said, man, you're on the gas, but you're a little rough on your equipment. And I think another thing that helped him out this weekend, that, you know, his family was here. It's amazing his family goes to a lot of the races. And I'm not talking about just a couple of people. I'm talking about, like, 10 or 15 people. You know, this is he always has some clean riding. This is his second win, and I thought it was real nice that he talked about mechanics and all the support behind him.
Right. I was going to compare him more to James Stewart. Did you ever watch Stewart ride a bike? It's like he shoves the thing back in the ground. He doesn't want to be in the air very long. Somehow he hits these jumps like doesn't get air. He just shoves it back down and gets more traction. It looks like Chad does the same thing. It's pretty wild.
Well, you know, Chad's a big guy, and he uses his body English to, you know, maneuver the equipment. Of course, that can be an advantage as far as body English, but it's also weight as a disadvantage as
well. Right, and there's no finesse out of Chad Weenan. He just hammers on it. But anyway, let's go on to some other things. What do you got for us next?
Well, you know, first, I just want to say that it was a great ride. Weenan having a battle with Natale. Dustin Wimmer taking the number three position there as well. And round five, man, I'll tell you what, there were so many rounds today. I was kind of getting them confused, you know, as we sit back. It's been a long day. It really has been. And I was trying to distinguish round four from round five. And a great event there by Weenan again, Wimmer and Gust. Weenan taking the win, Dustin Wimmer in the number two spot, Doug Gust taking third. And that was quite a battle there in round number five. Chad Weenan worked his way around Natale. It took about 10 laps. I mean, it reminded me of a red kite with a yellow tail out there. You know how a kite goes around and it goes from side to side and the tail kind of follows it? It was just like that. They were on him right there, and Chad Weenan was putting the pressure on John Natale. Chad got around him, and then Gus came up and was really pressuring Natale. They came into the rocket pocket, which is a turn just before the tower, and coming down through the Supercross six-pack, Doug got the inside line. He pulled him next to him, rolled in next to him right there, and Doug got kind of hung up with him, and Dustin Wimmer in the fourth spot saw an open door and went from fourth to second in a matter of just a few seconds.
It's like they had it planned or something. The strategy Suzuki had today was pretty good. They just wore poor John Natale out and ended up sweeping the podium. You know, speaking of sweeping the podium, it was pretty much all yellow and black today. It's the Can-Am teams. Well, we're talking round five now. The Can-Am and the QTC swept the podium, and so did Suzuki. It's kind of interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Quad Train Challenge is awesome as well, with Boerich, Bithel, and Kirby, the all Can-Am team as well. And Chris Boerich, man, did a great job, got both whole shots award. And I know Justin got a good interview with him.
Let's go to that.
Over here, what is the race?
I don't say it's Jerry Pickett. It's K&M and Warrant Racing teamed up and got me on board here, and just glad to be here, and glad to come out here and win for these guys, and just come out to have a good old time and have some fun and try not to get hurt for my national series at home.
Now, this is Chris Boerich here on the Inside Dirt, winner of our second quad terrain race today. It seems like these Can-Ams really are dialed for this track. You guys, you know, obviously won both finals today.
Yeah, first final, I had a little mechanical failure, but other than that, everything worked out great. Came out here to second heat or second main and won that one. And just like you said, the Can-Ams are real dialed in, and the guys that weren't racing, the mechanics and all that, are just heck of a guys crashing on the bikes to get them back out here right away. So worked
out leading
good.
The Can-Am sweep here, we're looking at a lot of yellow and black here over here.
Yeah, Chris Biffle and what is it, Scott Kilby back there? Yeah, two teammates and. Glad to have these guys up on top with us.
So we're going to see you a few more times this year?
Yeah, I'll be at a couple more.
All right, great.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You know, Mark, Can-Am really did well in finding Chris Borch, and I think you're going to see some really big things out of Chris Borch and Can-Am team. Can-Am, I got to ride the new DS450, and I'll tell you what, really, really good quad. I mean, one of the best I've ever rode. It's dynamite, and I think Chris is going to be on that in the cross-country ranks. And he's going to come to the QTCs. And as he dominated today, he's going to do some good things for Can-Am. He's a good find.
Well, I'll tell you what, last year he didn't have such good luck. He came out and actually joined us, I believe, on the second or third race in. And, you know, I really think Chris had high expectations of walking away with the money, as well as William Yokley.
Right.
And they came out here and realized, hey, this is no cakewalk. But like you said, it was great that the Can-Am Warner Racing picked him up. You know, it's a great combination. One thing I did notice about Chris is that he said he wants to come out here and do this, but he also wants to be safe for the cross-country series because, you know, he's balancing the walking down the fence here and doesn't want to fall off on either side.
I think he's going to make balance really work for his money over there. I predict Chris is going to disrupt 7-time champion Bill Balance. I don't know. He's been riding really well. You know, I was wondering, you kind of see it and have more of an eyes-on approach. Am I right in thinking that Arctic Cat and Can-Am are the only ones really doing anything? Do you see more OEMs coming into live next year in the QTC ranks? Because I'm getting tired of just Arctic Cat and Can-Am. I would love to see Suzuki running out there, you know, Yamaha, whatever. Can they not run?
We did have Suzuki's and Yamaha's, and of course, William Yokley on the box stock Kawasaki. But
not the kind of presence that Arctic Cat and Can-Am are doing. It's just
right.
Maybe they're just all in, and the other ones are just
that was a snowcross tie, I believe. You know, those guys are sled heads, is what we like to call them, and a lot of them came down with the WPSA series.
Right,
so they said, hey, we need something to do in the summer. So I think that's kind of why we're getting the Arctic Cat Can-Am influence from that. I'll tell you what, did you see old Jesse West? He had a rough time today.
I love watching Jesse ride that big, huge Arctic Cat. It's something else. We got a quote from him, I believe. Justin Anderson had a word with our boy Jesse West.
All right, let's hear it.
Here with Jesse West, who fell off, broke a helmet, fell off at big qualifying, and got back on the bike, ran in three-wheel drive, and still finished the race. I guess tell our Inside Dirt fans out there what the heck was going on.
What a day. I mean, today has been horrible from the get-go. First qualifier of the day, I got in, somebody hit me on the start, went down hard, actually knocked myself out, and got back up, finished the race. Went to the main, got it down the start line, and had a start line incident, which had another hard spill and broke my front end. I got up, they let me race, and I went ahead and finished the race, and best I could do, I gave it everything I had.
Well, and that's really what it takes in this class, isn't it? You really got to give it all, don't you?
Yeah, you do, and I want to win this championship bad, and I don't want anything to take it away. So.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You a lot of times you're known for having trouble with the starts and driving through the field. This time you get a great start, look what happens.
Yeah, I'm just, everything I've ever done I had to work for, and this ain't going to be any different. Nothing comes easy, and it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to get it anyway.
Although we don't have an Ironman award over here, if we did, I think you'd be getting it today.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations, man.
I'll tell you what, old Jesse, he's got a lot of strong-willed guy. He's a tough guy, and he's got some strong will.
He really does, Mark. He has to earn, like you said in the interview, he's got to earn everything, and it seems like every time I watch him, he's coming back from a 16th spot or something ridiculous and picking his way through the crowd. And just look for the 888, and you'll be entertained for sure. The guy is like, a little bit like Corey Ellis in motocross world. Never got a good start, but always gave a great show for everyone.
Go
ahead.
He definitely, man, he got knocked out in the first race, and then that bad crash in the second race. It was pretty tough for this guy, Jesse West, this weekend.
Yeah, Jesse, I'm glad he's okay. He was laying there, and I was really worried. But broke that helmet in half and still got up pretty damn tough. He was rolling his neck around, showing and proving that he was fine. And he's tougher than a lot of people. And
Now I saw him like side saddling, riding his quad. Something broke
the front axle. Yeah, while they were, I was right down there watching everything, and he got on it all happy that he was able to race again, and went up there and we're looking at the thing, and it didn't have a front axle. It blew it right off. So he was riding in what we call three wheel drive, which is pretty good that he was able to get through those logs in three wheel drive. I don't know how he did that, but did it. I don't know where he ended up. I don't know. Mid pack, probably. I'm thinking.
Actually, he just came around and stopped before the finish line, and then when the winners came across,
yeah, you can't ride the quad like that. I mean, he probably makes it pretty hard. But anyway, who won? Do we say who won? We need to tell people.
Yeah,
I know it was all Can-Am, but
it was a Boerich, Bithel, and Kirby, of course. I'll tell you what, he is one tough guy, almost as tough as Chad Weenan. And, you know, we're talking about, Justin was talking about calling him the Iron Man. Well, he was definitely the Iron Man. Jesse West, the Iron Man today. But Chad Weenan, of course, an Iron Man, round number five, taking another big win. And once again, he worked his way around Natale. Gus and Natale got hung up. Wimmer pulls in there. Gus finishes third. That was one awesome race.
Right on. Let's go to Chad and see what he had to say about that final round five.
Races, two wins, double weekend. It's got to help out with the points.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, try not to look at the points much because it's such a long year. And, you know, it definitely helps me. And, you know, it all adds up. Every single moto adds up. And just it's hard to be true. I never pictured myself to be up here, you know. Double weekend, double wins. It's amazing.
We're talking to Chad Weenan here, who won our second race today for our Super Quad Pro 450 race. You know, it looked very similar to the first race. Running second, trying to track John Natale down, making your move late in the race, and then holding them off to take the win. Is that really part of your strategy when you come into one of these events, or is that just by luck of the draw?
You know, I definitely like to get past him as soon as possible. He's a strong guy, and you know, it's hard to get by him in the first couple laps. I just feel my endurance is better than his, and that's what you got to kind of strategize to later in the race. And it being so hot out here, it feels like it's 100 degrees out here, and you know, it's you got to strategize. But usually, I just like to get out front and let the moto come my way.
And you were talking about training at Jeremiah's over in Bowling Green. Talk to me a little bit about, did he tell you anything? Did he give you any pointers from his history in this sport?
You know, definitely, like, how to get traction in these hard, slick tracks. And, you know, just having him there watching you practice is, you know, it's an honor. And you want to perform good for him, and you want to show him that you're ready to get the show on. And I believe that I impressed myself this weekend. Hopefully everybody feels the same. And I couldn't thank Rockstar Energy Suzuki, MSR Pro Taper, Yoshimura, Wrath Racing, Walsh Racecraft, you know, Fox, you know, and all the mechanics, the fans, everybody that stands behind me and cheers me on. You know, it's just amazing to be a part of this.
Well, congratulations on another great race.
Thank you very much.
You know, it was kind of odd that Chad said he doesn't really worry about points. But he actually, two finishes today. That's going to give him a big shot in the arm. 50 points plus whatever he got in his heat races.
No, never mind the points. Look at the money he made today.
That's
pocketed
right.
$8,000, was it?
Yeah. You know what was funny is I was, you know, everybody calls him Big. So I was calling him Big Money after
right.
We came off the podium. I said, hey, Chad, I got a new name for you. Instead of it being Big, I'm going to call you Big Money.
Yeah. In theory, someone could walk out of here with $10,000 if they got the two quad magazine pull shots and they won the two mains like Chad did today. $10,000 on a weekend. Pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, I guess that training at Jeremiah Jones has, you know, really paid off.
I believe it was Harold Goodman, while we're talking Quad Magazine, that got the whole shot today. And won the $1,000 is pretty cool.
Actually, it was Keith Little, I believe.
Keith Little? Well, yeah. Harold Goodman got one, too. It was Keith and Harold.
Yeah.
Round four was Keith and Goodman.
These two rounds, they're all starting to run together.
Yeah, it's tough to remember anything. But
hey, we got them both in there. That's all that counts. But, you know, I thought it was really nice when he said it was an honor to go out there and train at Jeremiah's house. Chad really, really looks up to Jeremiah, and that's a very, you know, you see a big guy like that, and to have some warm and fuzzy comment come out of him, it's pretty neat.
Right on. Suzuki did well in keeping Jeremiah around, because he's the go-to guy for everyone, and it's cool that they respect him and listen to what he says, because he does. He's got his act together, Jeremiah. He knows how to ride a quad, and it's cool to watch Chad. He mentioned me before, he almost likes the position he gets coming into, you know, fifth or fourth place and being able to charge and see other people's lines and come back like he did today and win. So it's kind of cool. Like I said earlier, it's great to watch because he does that kind of thing.
Well, I tell you what, you know, John Natale did a great job, but sometimes first place isn't always the best place to be for exactly what you said.
Yep.
Chad sits back, takes some notes, shows him a tire. Tries to do a little taunt, a little intimidation move, and in 14 laps you're going to make a little mistake, and if Chad's in second place and makes a mistake, then he's just got to, you know, put the extra effort in to catch up.
Right. He was really smart today. You're right. That was a good point. He rode a really smart race. He could have went out and, you know, pressured hard, and he's just wore him down and showed that he's not just a tough, mean, you know, manhandling rider. He's also got some smarts.
Now, you know, we started this conversation about points, and a young gentleman out of Greenville, Texas, had a perfect weekend this weekend, 45 points, and his name is Cody Miller.
Cody Miller here won our Pro-Am, Super Quad Pro-Am race today. Quite a race out there. How's it feel to put your Yamaha up there on the top step of the podium for the first time this season?
It feels great. I've been working at it all season. I started out with getting a couple of fourth places at the first few races, and then the last race I ended up getting a second, and this race I came into it tied with Greg G for the points. We both had 111, and I really, really, it was important to me to win everything this weekend, so I got first in both my heat races, and I won first in the race, and I can't thank Yamaha and DASA enough, because my bike was just running great.
But talk about your compound down in Texas. You guys really have an awesome place to practice when you're not out here at the racetracks.
Yeah, my brother and I, we've grown up there since we were, you know, 5 or 6 years old. We've been living out on our farm in Greenville, Texas, and we've put in a practice track out there, and we've also got a big lake out there, and we work out and ride and pretty much have fun every day. Since it's pretty much our job now to be riding and training, that's what we do. Instead of going out and get regular jobs, we ride and race every weekend to make our money and make fair bills.
Now, one of our hosts on the show, John Pellin, refers to you as the next Jeremiah Jones. What do you think, having that kind of a name associated with you this early in your career?
It's really an honor. Jeremiah and I ride a lot the same. We both really stick it out there, and we give it our best all the time. But yeah, I mean, it feels excellent to have a name like that even related to me, because he's an awesome rider and had an awesome career.
Now, Pro-Am this year, do you have any idea when you might want to step up to go to Pro? I mean, we looked today, and your times were well within the top five in the Pro 450 final, so.
It's awesome. It's awesome to hear that. I hear a lot of the tracks, how our Pro-Am lap times are a lot similar to the Pros, but the Pro class, they're pretty intimidating. They're really, really aggressive riders, every one of them, and you know, I tried to ride pro at the beginning of the year last year and ended up breaking my femur. And so I said, well, you know, instead of going out there and finishing mid-pack pro, I'm just going to train and ride a lot this next year and go for the win in Pro-Am. And then once I get that title, I want to move up to pro.
Sounds good. Thanks for the interview, Cody.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Hunter and Cody Miller, my little bros. I really love those boys. Love the whole family. The Miller family are in my heart forever. I work with them yearly, talk to them almost daily for our 6 and 12 hours of ATV America held at their place, Cato Point in Greenville, Texas. And it's really cool to see them excel like they are, especially Cody. Hunter's been having, Hunter got hurt his leg, and he's had a little time off. He hasn't been able to ride as long as Cody has and train as much lately. But
I'll tell you what, he has definitely been doing it. You can see him getting better as the year progresses.
Right, right.
He had no podium in the first couple of races. Then he got a second place, and then here he is this weekend with a perfect weekend. And one thing I think we need to remind everybody is that he was tied in the points coming into this weekend with Greg G. out of Simcoe, Ontario, Canada. I believe it's 111 or 114 points, and Greg didn't have a good weekend. This is really going to give Cody a shot in the arm. And, you know, I was talking with him on the podium about, you know, Cody, you're getting ready for the pro class, but, you know, he's a young kid. He's still learning. He's also pros run 14 laps, pro-am run 8 laps. So, I think he needs to keep doing his homework, but he's definitely going to get there.
I love watching him ride. His style, his smarts. I think I might disagree with you. I think he could go out there right now. Cody Miller could end up with probably a top 5 to 10 in the pro ranks. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. He's a hell of a rider, and I've seen him ride for 40-minute motos, it seems like. He's the next big thing. Like I say, I think he's the next Jeremiah Jones.
Well, I'll tell you what, our podcast listeners can check out this action. The race air dates for Daniel Boone will be July 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and July 21st at noon Eastern Time on ESPN2. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the next race will be at the GBC Virginia National. This is in 2 weeks at the Virginia Motorsports Park outside Richmond, Virginia. It's a drag race facility, a huge motocross track, and it's going to be another one of those crazy doubleheaders.
I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to the place. It's kind of neat to go to a track. I know a lot of the listeners right now have never been to the place, probably. It's never had a national, I don't believe, there. So it should be interesting, kind of a new place to go to. I kind of like going to new places, something different. So I'm looking forward to going. And is that it, Mark? Are we going to wrap this up?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Inside Dirt. My name is Mark Straubinger.
I'm John Cohen. Hopefully you'll check out episode 3 from Virginia. Thanks for listening. See you then.